I can't tell you. What an honor this is. 1968, 1966, I was sitting right over there where the Carmichaels are. A little drink of water was our evangelist for that revival. I don't remember what his name was. I remember what he looked like. He was a short little guy with dark rimmed glasses. And I don't even remember what he preached. But I remember God speaking to my heart. And Larry's right. Right there. You probably can stand about a foot higher there because I left a bunch of sins right there. I was saved. I never forgot it. There were times when I got off on a rabbit trail, but God's got a way of getting you back. Paul Hill was my mentor. He was my father in the gospel. I knew I'd gonna cry, so I brought a clean handkerchief. Paul had a saying for me. He would say, Joe, most people he would say, Joe, you're supposed to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. He said when he asked me to preach, he said, Joe, I want you to preach, pray, or cry at a moment's notice. This church, if you hear anything that I say tonight at all, I want you to hear what a heritage is here. Now, don't get the big head, we just have to deflate it. But in this place, there's been many, many victories. Out of this place have gone many, many servants. And in this place, many, many people met Jesus. And then we had a mentor. Now we've got a wonderful guy sitting right back here. Dennis, I love you and appreciate you, buddy. You've been blessed. This church has been blessed. And because of that blessing, we have a marvelous, marvelous heritage. And it's in your hands. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight and we know that it's your hour, not mine, not this church's. This is your moment in time for us. So I pray tonight that you'll help us to remember, but I pray tonight that you'll help us not to try to bring back the old days because that would negate what you're trying to do today. But help us, because of the old days, to come back and be open to what you have to do today. In this church that has ministered to so many for so long, I ask you to be with us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to yourself. We love you. Help us to see Jesus and to lift him high. In his name we pray. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. I hear that you have slain a giant. I understand that. In 2004, we had a similar encounter. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man, he was just a shepherd boy. He wasn't anything special. As a matter of fact, when Samuel went looking for a man to crown king, he went to Jesse, and Jesse had these sons, and each one of the sons paraded past Jesse, or paraded past Samuel. And Samuel said, nope, he's not the one. Nope, he's not the one. Nope, he's not the one. Finally, Samuel said, don't you have any other sons? Well, Samuel knew that there was a king in this house somewhere. Jesse said, yeah, he's out on the hill with the woolies. That's from the Heinz paraphrase that meant sheep. And Samuel said, bring him in, I want to see him. So they brought David in. David marched past Samuel, and God said, he's the one. David later was going to be anointed king. But he had a hill to climb before he could become the king. His brothers, three of them, had gone to be with Saul and to fight with Saul's army. And so his dad said, I want you to go check on the boys, see how they're doing. And so he went to check on them, and while he was there, Saul had one of his spells. I think it was depression, but the Bible says it was an evil spirit sent by God. Which says to us that even evil spirits, God is in charge of. They're not stronger than him. Boy, there should have been a room full of amens on that one. And he asked if somebody could play a harp. And the fellow said, yeah, I know that David can play a harp. So he came in and he played for Saul and comforted Saul in one of his fits. Saul began to like and appreciate and love David. And so he sent back to Jesse, could he stay with him? David went back to take care of the sheep, and his dad sent several skins of wine and several loaves of bread with David. And so David went back. And when he went back, he went out to the field to see his brothers to find out how they were doing again. And he looked down in the valley of Elah. And there was a great big devilish of a man. And he was defying the armies of Israel. And David said, who is this guy? And they said, oh, he's Goliath. And every time he would come out, he did this morning and night for 40 days and 40 nights, and he would march the valley of Elah, and the armies of Israel, the armies of God, when he came out and shouted, they would leave. And David said, who is this man that defies the armies of Israel? Now, there's a part of this scripture that we read past to get to the real stuff where David is confronted with Goliath. It's an interesting thing to me. In verse 24 or 34 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. He's talking about himself. Now Saul has said, you can't go down and face this giant. And David says, I kept my father's sheep. I killed a lion and a bear to protect the sheep. Now, I'm going to stop there just for a minute. David went into his past. His past became his credentials for the present and the future. David said, I've faced a lion, I've faced a bear. And Saul said, now Saul's tried to give David his armor, his helmet, his coat of scale, his breastplate, his shin plates, and the sword. And David had to walk like this because it was too heavy. David said, I haven't tried this. I can't use this. And so he took it all off. And Saul said, okay, go. Now this is brave Saul. Okay, go. And the Lord be with you. Now those were powerful words for David. David was going to represent Israel. David was going to represent the God of Israel. David was going to slay this giant who was taunting the armies of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in all of our lives probably when we were faced with our own personal giants, our own personal disabilities, our own personal fears. Buddy Robinson was a West Texas cowboy. And when you saw Buddy, you never saw him with people. And if we saw him with people, people were laughing at him. Uncle Buddy had a bad speech impediment. And so he would do his work there on the ranch. But on this particular week, there was a church not too far from the ranch. And they were having a revival, so he went down to that revival. And Buddy Robinson was gloriously saved in that revival meeting. And he came back to the bunkhouse, and he was a changed man. And God began to speak to him about being a preacher. And Uncle Buddy was so afraid. Well, the preacher of that church heard that Buddy Robinson was called to preach. So he invited him one Sunday night to come and preach. And so Buddy went to that church to come and preach. And his old cronies came to hear this guy who couldn't say two words without stuttering and see how he was going to do in the pulpit. Come time for him to preach, and Buddy Robinson got in the pulpit, and he said, "I want to thank you for being here." And off in this corner, his cronies begin to laugh, and over here they begin to laugh, and pretty soon there was a hum of giggling and laughter. Uncle Buddy's face flushed, and he turned around and he knelt at the pulpit chair, and he said this. He said, God, if it's a fool you want, I'm your man. But if it's a preacher you want, loose my tongue. And he stood up, and he began to preach. And Buddy Robinson said, God took my stutter, but he left me with a pretty little lisp. He was known as the lisping preacher. He preached the word all over the world. His giant, God took care of. David's giant, God is going to take care of. Paul Hill took me several times down to Asbury to the minister's conference. Paul, he was my idol at that time. Now, it wasn't too many years, but what Paul set me down and said, Joe, it's Jesus. I never forgot that. And I was always amazed at his praise. He had no inhibitions when it came to praise. Now, what I'm going to tell you could be a little indelicate, but I don't mean it that way at all. But at one of the services, we were going to change speakers, so there was an intermission, and we all went to that line of porcelain fixtures. And Paul was about two people down from me. And all at once I heard somebody say, praise God for elimination. I walked ahead of him. I sat behind him in the chapel. I always wanted to be like Paul Hill, but I decided not so much. Paul wasn't afraid to speak words of praise. He took serious the word when it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." He had the bad hand. We were singing "When We All Get to Heaven," and I was sitting right back here with Paul, and we were dragging a little bit, and he took that bad hand and started going like this, and Brother Shaw knew, or Brother Tink Stifler knew what he meant, and he picked up. Brother Tink Stifler, he could get music out of a turnip. Now I know that because he got a whole room full of music out of a bunch of turkeys. Wasn't any amen there, was there? Yeah. And his teeth would slip. And he was the only guy I knew that could sing with his teeth clenched. And he never missed a beat or a word, and then he'd open up. All of these things prepared us for where we are today. We aren't here just by an accident. David wasn't there just by an accident. David saw that the armies of God were being taunted and tormented, and it didn't need to be, because God was the victor even for this giant. And as we enter this new era for Christ Church, be ready. This legacy, like I said in the prayer, we cannot bring back and should not bring back the past. That's not ours to do. But we can build on the legacy that's here. So, I want you to know, you have a marvelous opportunity. If you go into the book of Revelation and look at the account of the church at Philadelphia, the Bible says that God set before that church an open door. And I'm telling you, there is a wide open door for Selma Christ Church. And there should have been a house full of amens there. It's just begun. When David faced Goliath, it wasn't all over for David. It was all over for Goliath, but it wasn't all over for David. It was just beginning. God had prepared David when he was taking care of those woolies, and a lion came and a bear came, and God put courage in the heart of that man, and that courage never left. He said, "Don't you know?" So his motive was that the people would know that there is a God in Israel. Selma, that's your job. Let this community know that there is a God in Selma, that he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can yank a young man out from under a cow and set him in a pulpit, and nothing else could. All I ever want to do is milk cows. My granddad had a dairy. I lived with my grandparents at Albany, and they milked cows. I loved those old cows, and that was all I wanted to do. So I was milking cows, and I come home from work, from the barn, and nothing was going right. And I told my wife, "I'm going to go to bed." I took my shower, I went to bed, I shut out the lights, and did what any courageous young man would do. Covered up my head. And I said, "God, what do you want with me? I'm not satisfied just milking cows." And you know what? There in the darkness of that bedroom on Highway 3 in Roarton, Indiana. Roarton, that was one of the finest high schools, by the way. I knew there wouldn't be an amen there. And God said to me that night, now I thought the neighborhood could have heard it, but he said to me that night, "Preach, preach, preach." And I was walking past, I was Sunday school superintendent at that time, and I was walking past Paul's office. And he was in there, and it was I think between church and Sunday school. I walked in there and he said, I want to talk to your brother Joe. And I said, I went in there and sat down in front of him. He leaned on that old stub of his and looked me right, and his eyes bore holes through me. And he said, Brother Hines, have you ever thought about being a preacher? That was on Wednesday night when God called me. That was Sunday morning. God's got a big mouth. And so I shared that account with him. I had no schooling. 3 Sundays later, Paul said, Brother Hines, you're going to preach tonight. Oh, no, I'm not. You'll do fine. So I cut my teeth in 1968 on this pulpit. That was a beginning. I never thought I'd be back in here. And I told my wife on the way home, if I never preached another sermon, I've come full circle by the grace of God. David told Saul, now I've done all of this. And Saul said, okay, go face the giant. So David headed for the valley of Elah. There was an army lined up on this side of the valley, and an army lined up on this. The Philistines were on this side of the valley, and old Goliath would march down the center of the valley, taunting the armies of Israel. I see prophetic clouds beginning to muster in the west. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is on his way. I don't know when, you don't know when, but Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for his church. That's you and me. David went towards the valley. David came to the brook. And he got 5 stones out of the brook. Now, I've heard preachers preach 5 points. This stone was this stone was that, this stone. David didn't pick up that stones and stone and say, this is a stone of persistence. David picked up that stone because he was going to kill a giant. And he knew that giant had brothers. So he picks up the stones and he heads to the valley. Goliath begins to taunt David. You're just a pap. That's a Heinz paraphrase. You're just a pap. They're sending you to kill me or to fight me. And David says this to Goliath. You come against me with sword and with spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have denied, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. Now you talk about confidence. Only David's confidence wasn't in himself. His confidence is where ours should be. His confidence was in the Lord God Almighty, who can do all things, who created the heavens and the earth. That's his credentials. David said, I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. He was speaking prophetically there. Today I will give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. The whole world will know. Underline this in your Bible. Because of this experience, the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. That was his motive. He wanted to bring glory to God. He wanted to win the victory. He wanted God to win the victory through him. My friends, I don't know much about Selma anymore. I was here for just a few years before I went to school. Then we moved to Albany. So I don't know a lot about Selma. My grandparents lived just out north of town, and I spent a lot of time with them. I was talking about the influence of Paul Hill in my life. Well, there I had two sets of grandparents that influenced us and talked to us about Jesus. If you have grandkids, tell them about Jesus. My grandmother and grandfather, every morning we'd have breakfast, and it was always bacon and eggs and toast and homemade grape jelly. And Grandpa had a Bible on the windowsill. And we'd have breakfast finished. Grandpa would take that Bible off of the windowsill. He would open it up, and generally he opened it up to Psalms. He loves Psalms. I've got that old Bible, and it's got bacon stains on the pages of Psalms, where he'd pick up a piece of bacon and eat it, and then he picked up the Bible and pointed. He would read the Word, and then Grandmother would pray. And all of us grandkids heard her pray for us. My brother and I, when she'd start to pray, I'd look at him, he'd look at me, we'd roll our eyes. We couldn't stop the power of her prayer in our lives. Whose life are you influencing for Jesus? I tell you, my other grandmother, I'd sit at her elbow or stand at her elbow drying, honey, go like this. I'd stand at her elbow and dry dishes. And she'd talk to me about Jesus. And one day she came to, is it Penzel's, in the old Penzel bookstore in Muncie. She didn't drive, so she'd get the ABC bus out in front of the house. And she'd get on that bus, she'd go to town, do her shopping. This one particular day, she brought a little kind of a green sack home. I said, Grandma, what's that? She said, I'll show you after a while. We got the milking done. We got supper done. Played our usual evening Chinese checker game. That was before TV. Come time to go to bed. And we went to bed early because we had to be in the barn early. So my brother and I went up to our room, and Grandma come up, and she brought that little green sack, and she sat on the edge of her bed. She said, now I've got a picture I'm going to give you, boys. We're going to hang it on the wall right there. It was a picture of Christ at the door. She said, one of these days, he's going to knock at the door of your heart, and you're going to open the door and let him in, I hope. And she hung that picture up. Every time we went to bed, I saw that picture. Every time we came to Grandma and Grandpa Swanders, I heard him pray. We were living out here across from Grandma and Grandpa's a little ways, and I had a cousin, Judy, and her husband, Larry. I don't know if you know him or not. They'd come to our house. We spent a lot of time together, but they always ask us to come to church. Would not let us alone when it come to church. So finally we came. Whether we needed it or not, we came. And then Paul Hill came to the house, and he drove in that burgundy, old burgundy Chevy. And I thought, oh, crap. Now, crap's a Hebrew term. And Paul came into our house, and I'd blow Winston cigarette smoke in his face. It was not good to him. And he just kept coming. One day he said, I just bought a Sweet 16 Browning automatic shotgun. But I need somebody to help me put it together. Will you? Well, sure, I'll help you put it together. So we put it together. he said, man, I'd like to use this. I said, well, we're going fox hunting tonight. You want to go with us? And I thought, you'll go with me once, but you won't go again. So we went fox hunting. He and my buddy and myself, and I took that poor man through every thicket I could take him through, over every fence I could take him over. We finally got a fox. I was wore out, and I knew he was. And we got back to the truck. And he said, man, that was fun. I'd like to go again. You know, he just loved me to Jesus. He came one time and I set a bottle of beer right in the middle of the table when he came in. And I thought, now you and I can talk. Never paid any attention to, just talked around that bottle of beer to me and loved me to Jesus. God had this whole thing with Goliath planned. He knew what David was going to do because David was his man. God's got plans for this church, and there may be some Goliaths that you may have to stone, but God's got plans for this church. This is just the beginning. This church has years of legacy, years of gospel preaching, and one of them's right back there. Now, you don't have the encumbrance, and I'm biased, I know that, but you don't have the encumbrance of a conference. Dig into the gospel train. Go out into the highways and hedges of Selma. This church can be full once again. I've seen it. Paul was walking down the aisle with me one Sunday after church, and I looked at the tote board, and we'd had 160 some there that Sunday and had a powerful altar service. And I was bragging on the service and bragging on the sermon. Paul stopped me right about where Larry's sitting. He said, Brother Hines, don't ever forget, God gets all the praise because he's the one that does the work. And I added to it a few years later, he just lets us be there when it happens. It is such a blessing to be here tonight. It is such a blessing to reminisce, but it's more of a blessing to talk to you about the God of Israel, who is going to lead us through the storm clouds of whatever they are. The God of Israel, who's going to take care of every Goliath that we face. We may have to be in a battle or two. I don't know. But the God who empowered David is the same God who is going to empower you as you go out in tonight to 2023. This is your year. This is your time. This is your moment. Don't let it pass. You have a legacy in this church that would hold up Gibraltar. Paul used to say you could swing on it like a bell rope. Well, work it. Use it. Reach this community with Christ like it has never been reached before. This is your moment. Don't wait on somebody else to do it. God is calling you. David didn't wait on somebody else to go down in the valley because everybody else was scared to death. It was David's moment. This is your moment. I am so excited about this church and what God's going to do through you. Man, there should have been a dozen amens there. You had 27 years with Paul. You've had other guys here. You've had, how many years were you here, Dennis? How many? 30-something, you're being humble. 30, how many? 34. It was 34 if anybody ever asks, Dennis. And you had 34 years with Dennis's gospel preaching. How blessed can we be? that they may know that there is a God in heaven who loves the people in Selma. You might have some grumps. Love them to Jesus. You might have some drunks. Love them to Jesus. You might have some druggers. Love them to Jesus. You might have some mother-in-laws. Love her to Jesus. God is so good. He is so good. You know, if you're walking down a country road and you come upon a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. My friends, what God's calling this church to do, you didn't get here by yourself. You got here because of a legacy of Paul Hill's preaching, because of a legacy of Dennis's preaching, because of a legacy of people coming to Christ. This is, like, if you ever need to kneel at this altar, this is my place right here. There should be other places here. How many of you have found Christ at this altar? How many of you have found help at this altar? It's only wood. But God's what makes the difference. Well, I could rattle on and on tonight, but I'm not going to. I don't care if people sleep while I'm preaching, but I just don't want them to snore. I want you to know that there is a room full of Davids in here. And how I know it is because there was a young man years ago who was bashful, didn't want to get in front of people. Just a little ornery. Not enough so you could tell it, but he was just a little ornery. Lloyd Penrod, the principal at Wharton School, one of the greatest high schools in Indiana, was the principal. And he and I was on a first name basis. But God can even take an ornery, snotty-nosed little kid, prepare him with grandparents, and then when the day comes, he says yes to Jesus, just like you did. But there is a town full of people that need that. So let's take it to them. Tell them they don't need to die without Jesus. Tell them they don't need to live without Jesus. Tell them he died for them. He went to the cross for every person in this room. He went to the cross for every person. You know, you cannot make God stop loving you. You can't do it. Now, you can disappoint him, but you can't make him stop loving you. You can't make him stop loving the people of Selma, because he loves them just as much as he loves you. Selma, Christ Church, this is your hour. This is your year. These aren't idle words. I've come here to tell you that tonight. This is your time. Those things that we have learned in this place, put to work in this town and see what God's going to do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the legacy that's in this place. We thank you, Lord, and we don't worship that legacy, but we praise you for it. And I pray, Father, that you'll help this church to reach out into this town with the gospel message they've heard for year after year after year. Prepare Selma for Christ Church and prepare Christ Church for Selma. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have room at the cross? The song that we're going to sing is the song that we sang the day I was saved, sitting right over there. I was sitting on the Carmichael's lap. I want you to hear the words. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there is still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. October 28th, 1966. If you have a need on your heart, or if you have a Goliath your face and you come, this altar is usable. You come.